in the military bases of the United States and its allies.
The U.S. for the first time reveals it has a stockpile of more than 5,000 nuclear warheads. And Thailand's Prime Minister gives in to opposition demands and announces snap elections.
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News and Press TV.
Thanks for joining us. Iran's president has put forward 11 proposals to rid the world of nuclear weapons.
Well, Ahmadinejad has just addressed a UN conference in New York on reviewing the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, the NPT.
Is setting a deadline for complete elimination of all nuclear weapons within a specified timetable. The introduction of legally binding comprehensive security guarantees without discrimination or preconditions until the achievement of full nuclear disarmament by nuclear weapon states. Dismantling of nuclear weapons stationed in the military bases of the United States and its allies in other countries, including Germany, Italy, Japan, and the Netherlands.
Well, Ahmadinejad also highlighted the need for reforming the NPT and the structure of the UN Security Council for the purpose of a nuclear disarmament. Delegates from 189 nations have gathered at the NPT Review Conference, which is held every 5 years. The NPT is aimed at stopping the spread of nuclear arms across the world. It was signed in 1968. Israel, India, Pakistan, and North Korea are not members of the treaty.
Now, in an unprecedented move, the United States has revealed the exact number of its nuclear warheads. In a statement, the Pentagon said it has a total of 5,113 warheads in its stockpile. The move is said to be in line with non-proliferation efforts on transparency of global nuclear stockpiles. The figure shows an 84% reduction from the 1967 peak of more than 31,000. The U.S. government last disclosed details of its stockpile in 1993. U.S. defense officials say they hope the move would encourage other countries to be more open about their nuclear stockpile.
The non-aligned movement has called on the only nuclear-armed power in the Middle East, Israel, to sign the NPT and put its nuclear facilities under the IAEA supervision.
The fact that all states of the Middle East region, with the exception of Israel, are parties to the treaty, has resulted in the continued exposure of non-nuclear weapon states of the region to nuclear threats. The NAM state parties recall that the 2000 NPT Review Conference reaffirmed the necessity of Israel's accession to the NPT and the placement of all its nuclear facilities under the comprehensive IAEA safeguards.
In this respect, the NAM envoy said some powers' insistence to keep their nuclear weapons will encourage arms race. And Natalia Gawa said all countries should have the right to use nuclear energy for peaceful purposes without discrimination. Before a speech, Ban Ki-moon also called on nuclear-armed states to eliminate their weapons of mass destruction. The UN chief acknowledged that the previous NPT conference 5 years ago was just a failure as the nuclear threat still remains real.
Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak has met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to discuss the latest prospects of resuming indirect negotiations between the Palestinian and Israeli sides.
Egyptian President Mohammed Hosni Mubarak met Monday morning with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the Red Sea resort city of Sharm el-Sheikh. Their talks were to focus on the launch expected within days of indirect talks between Israelis and Palestinians, a process stalled since the Gaza War of December 2008, January 2009. The indirect talks were set to start in March but failed over a row about Israeli plans to build 1,600 homes in occupied East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, which Palestinians want to be the capital of their future state.
It's more right to arrest Netanyahu as a war criminal. It's not appropriate for him to be wanted for justice in other countries and in Egypt. That is the heart of the Arab world. He is received with such a welcome. This is an insulting visit to Egypt and for the blood of its martyrs.
The Mubarak Netanyahu talks come 2 days after the Arab League foreign ministers supported the resumption of Israeli-Palestinian so-called proximity talks. Arab League Secretary General Amr Moussa said that the indirect talks would not automatically lead to direct negotiations, but that the direct negotiations will only take place with an Israeli freeze on all settlement activity.
The presence of Netanyahu in Egypt, who is a war criminal, is a real shame. Kefaya opposition movement put forward a complaint to the general attorney in the name of 28 public figures, from university professors, members of parliament and political activists. All those put forward a complaint to the general attorney asking for the arrest of Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, for his responsibility in person for his war crimes and crimes against humanity.
But Hamas, which rules in Gaza, has condemned the US and Arab League for the resumption of peace talks, saying the talks will only provide Israel with more opportunities to continue its aggression. In addition, many analysts agree that no real negotiations can take place without the participation of Hamas. The Netanyahu-Mubarak meeting comes ahead of another visit by U.S. Envoy George Mitchell to the region. He's expected to meet acting Palestinian Authority Chief Abbas on Friday and the Abbas-led Palestinian Liberation Organization, which is expected to endorse the indirect negotiations proposal the following day. Palestinian negotiator Saeb Araikat said any Israeli construction in occupied East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, would end the talks. Israel has offered a limited halt to settlement construction in the West Bank, but not in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, that it has occupied since 1967. 17 years after the beginning of the peace process with the signing of the Oslo Treaty, and yet both sides today are finding it difficult to sit at the same negotiations table. Mai Kamel, Press TV, Cairo.
Turkey's parliament has rejected a constitutional amendment to make it harder to ban political parties. The move is considered a blow to the government's plans to reform a charter written during military rule in the 1980s. Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan said he would press on with the reforms regardless of the setback. The AK Party says the reforms are needed to bring Turkey closer to EU democratic norms. The secularist opposition has accused the government of using judiciary reforms as an excuse to install its supporters in the constitutional court and undermine secular principles. Erdogan's package also calls for making the secular army accountable to civilian courts.
Iraqi officials have launched a recount of the votes cast in Baghdad during March elections. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's coalition has objected to the way the recount was being conducted and has called for an audit comprising of every ballot and every voter's signature, in addition to the manual recounts.
Iraq's Election Commission started the manual recount of around 2.5 million ballots cast in Baghdad during the country's parliamentary elections on March 7. The recounting process could take between 2 to 3 weeks and affects 68 seats, or about a fifth of parliament's 325 seats. The process is being carried out inside the Green Zone under the supervision of observers from the UN and the European Union. Representatives of the political parties and alliances also monitor the recount process. The Independent Electoral Commission announced so far there have been no changes or differences between the results of the recount and the final results which were previously announced.
The good news is that the initial results are matching with the previous results, and the process, as you can see, is going on smoothly.
The UN representative in Iraq praised the efforts of the IHAC, saying the recount process is going as scheduled. He further added that the UN will respect the Iraqi authorities' decisions and continue its support for the Iraqi government.
The UN will continue to support that process as advisor, and at any time we will fully respect the decisions by the Iraqi authorities, and we look forward to the result of this process.
The State of Law Coalition complained that the Election Commission wasn't conducting the recount properly by not reopening voter records and checking voter signatures against ballots. Election officials dismissed the charges. The incumbent Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki called for the recount in the province, saying the electronic system of counting was flawed. Mr. Maliki had challenged results in four other provinces as well, but had those requests denied. Experts describe the presence of the media and representatives of the political parties as an effort to ensure the integrity of this process.
What I'm seeing is work being done systematically and thoroughly. I see a lot of agents from the political parties and a lot of observers. I see a lot of media here. So I think that's a good sign that there's a lot of interest and that everybody is doing their part to ensure the transparency and the integrity of this process.
Just before the recount started, Election Commission spokesman Qasim Al-Aboudi said that another request for a recount by the main Kurdish bloc had been withdrawn in the national interest. Mr. Alawi's Iraqiya bloc have a 2-seat lead over the State of Law coalition led by Mr. Maliki, which managed to secure 89 seats. A political bloc needs 163 seats in parliament in order to form a government. Many political parties and alliances, especially the State of Law coalition headed by the Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, believe that the manual recount will bring changes to the final results of the parliamentary elections. And whether these changes will take place remains to be seen. Usama Albati, Press TV, from the Iraqi capital, Baghdad.
Iran's foreign ministry has summoned Afghanistan's charge d'affaires to reject comments made by some Afghan political figures against Tehran. The foreign ministry told Sayed Masoum Badakhsh that claims on Iran's mistreatment of Afghan refugees are fabricated and baseless. An Afghan lawmaker and several media outlets in the country have accused Tehran of, quote, mistreating the refugees living in a central Iranian city. The Afghan lawmaker also organized a rally in Kabul against Iran. Almost 2 million Afghan refugees live in Iran, many without visas and work permits. Well, a survey has found that just over 60% of Afghans feel negative about NATO forces after Operation Mushtarak.
Also, 67% said the NATO has few chances to win the war. The International Council on Security and Development, ICOS, has issued its 2010 report called Operation Mushtarak, Lessons Learned. The paper says a lack of political measures and refugee support alongside military operations have caused the discontent. Also, 95% believe more young Afghans have joined the Taliban during the previous year. 45% have also expressed their wrath at the NATO occupation, civilian deaths and night raids. The Institute indicated that the international forces have made mistakes. NATO launched the operation in February 2010 in Helmand Province.
A U.S. drone attack has killed 4 people in northwest Pakistan. The drone fired 3 missiles at a vehicle in North Waziristan. 2 other people have been injured. The U.S. has intensified airstrikes in Pakistan since Obama took office last year. The U.S. says the attacks target militants, but the victims have mainly been civilians. Since August 2008, more than 850 people have lost their lives in nearly 100 raids by American pilotless planes.
Thailand's prime minister has finally announced snap elections after weeks of street protests by the opposition supporters. Apisit Vechachiva says he's ready to hold elections on November 14th to end the political turmoil in the country. But he says it's subject to certain conditions under his reconciliation roadmap. Apisit had earlier told the parliament members that a political solution will only become a reality when everyone is heard. Red-shirted protesters have occupied parts of Bangkok since mid-March. They want the prime minister's resignation and snap elections.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. Some for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. Iran gives its proposals to rid the world of nuclear weapons.
Dismantling of nuclear weapons stationed in the military bases of the United States and its allies.
For the first time, the U.S. reveals it has a stockpile of more than 5,000 nuclear warheads. And Thailand's prime minister gives in to opposition demands and announces snap elections.